Hi, I'm Eileen with the Talking Information Center, and I will be reading from the Charlestown Patriot Bridge, December 11th, 2025. News: the annual Charlestown Christmas Stroll at the Historic Training Field Park by Patriot Bridge staff, December 11th. Bunker Hill Associates and Friends of the Training Field presented the annual Charlestown Christmas Stroll. The historic Training Field Park in Winthrop Square was transformed into a winter wonderland's complimentary pony rides, food, activities, and more, greeted families throughout Charlestown. Massachusetts Houses Passes Higher Education Bond Bill by Patriot Bridge staff. Special to the Patriot Bridge, the Massachusetts House of Representatives recently passed the BRIGHT Act, authorizing approximately $3.65 billion in capital investment to modernize Massachusetts public colleges and universities, support for the state's academic research workforce and climate goals. Originally filed by Governor Healey, the bill is financed by 10-year special obligation bonds that are backed by fair share surtax revenue. These funds will be used to address deferred maintenance, modernization projects, and decarbonization across higher education institutions. The BRIGHT Act will ensure that students across the state learn and train in modern, high-quality campus facilities while strengthening Massachusetts' competitiveness in research and innovation, said House Speaker Ronald J. Mariano Quincy. Building on the Commonwealth's increases in student financial aid and our commitment to making higher education more accessible and affordable, especially for low-income students, Massachusetts is undertaking a generational reinvestment in educating our residents and strengthening our higher education system. I would like to thank Representative Michalowicz, Rogers, and Finn for the work on the bill, my colleagues for supporting it, and Governor Healey for her commitment to this effort. The legislation passed by the House will revitalize and modernize higher education across the Commonwealth's public colleges and universities, said Representative Adrian Madaro. By upgrading college campuses, addressing deferred maintenance and sustainability, and ensuring facilities are being updated to align with our educational and workforce goals, we are building on the House's work on free community college and improved financial aid to ensure that higher education in Massachusetts has the resources to thrive. The BRIGHT Act will help usher in a new era for public higher education in Massachusetts, Representative David M. Rogers, Cambridge, House Chair of the Joint Committee on Higher Education. Under Speaker Mariano's leadership, the House has created free community college, exponentially increased financial aid, and now the BRIGHT Act invests nearly $3.65 billion in public higher education campuses statewide. The new investment will address essential campus infrastructure needs, develop modern learning spaces, and decrease reliance on fossil fuels. The $3.65 billion BRIGHT Act, bonded through a new special obligation fund and backed by fair share revenues, will modernize every public higher education campus in Massachusetts, said Representative Michael J. Finn, West Springfield, House Chair of the Joint Committee on Bonding, Capital Expenditures, and State Assets. This investment will spur economic development, creating good-paying jobs and deliver cleaner, state-of-the-art facilities that will prepare our students to lead in a competitive, sustainable future. I thank Speaker Mariano and House leadership for prioritizing this landmark legislation and ensuring Massachusetts remains a national leader in public education. The investments included the bill create a long-term statewide strategy for addressing aging facilities while aligning campuses with the state's workforce, economic development, and climate goals. The bill also streamlines capital project delivery, expands the role of Massachusetts State College Building Authority, MSCBA, and increases flexibility for campuses to manage facilities and property. The BRIGHT Act is estimated to create roughly 20,000 construction-related jobs across the Commonwealth as campuses undergo major capital improvements. Specifically, the bill invests $3.65 billion in core campus infrastructure authorities, approximately $3.65 billion in bond authorizations for investment in public higher education campuses. The Division of Capital Asset Management and Maintenance, DCAMM, will manage most of these investments. Of the approximately $3.65 billion, about $3.1 billion will support higher education capital project related to deferred maintenance, decarbonization, modernization, and planning. The investments at public institutions of higher education are broken down as follows. $1.2 billion for the University of Massachusetts UMass system. $1.25 billion for state universities, nine campuses, and community colleges, 15 campuses. $275 million for upgrades at MassArt, $100 million for the transition of campus facilities and property into housing and mixed-use developments, $80 million for costs associated with decarbonization and energy efficiency, $120 million for lab modernization projects at community colleges to support collaboration with vocational technical schools, and projects related to student health and well-being, and $30 million for costs associated with developing required campus master plans. The remaining $170 million is authorized for several separate items as follows. $50 million for a grant program administered through the Executive Office of Administration and Finance for general improvements and climate-related upgrades at public institutions of higher education, $20 million to the Executive Office of Technology Services and Security for costs associated with facilitating or enhancing remote or hybrid learning at public institutions of higher education, and $100 million for a grant program administered by the Executive Office of Education for improvements to upgrade and expand career technical education and training programs, skills capital grants. Updates to DCAM oversight. Updates DCAM's project oversight in campus construction by raising the project delegation threshold from $5 million to $10 million for state universities and community colleges, allowing the commissioner to delegate more projects to the MSCBA for supervision, raises the threshold for schematic design to $500,000, exempting smaller repairs and upgrades from lengthy design and certification requirements. Surplus campus property process allows DCAM to dispose of surplus campus property and directs all proceeds into a new higher education property disposition fund. DCAM needs to provide written notice to the municipalities where the property is located. These revenues can then be reinvested in other capital projects, including deferred maintenance, additional appropriations without requiring additional appropriations, giving campuses a sustainable way to reinvest in their own infrastructure. Requires DECAM to conduct a public hearing to consider restrictions for property that exceeds 2 acres or is 150,000 square feet or greater. Anticipates delegating envelope HVAC projects, which allows for increased decarbonization work, improves education and transportation fund capital financing. To support investments, the bill authorizes a state treasurer to issue special obligation bonds backed by the Education and Transportation Fund, strengthening long-term funding capacity for capital projects. Education and Transportation Fund revenues pledged for debt services are protected from diversion, and fair share surtax rate cannot be reduced while those revenues are needed for repayment. Clarifies and expands allowable uses for the Education and Transportation Innovation and Capital Account to include public education, affordable higher education, transportation infrastructure, and related capital needs, such as rail, bridges, bicycle pathways, and other public transportation assets. Modernizes Massachusetts State College Building Authority, MSCBA, allows DECAM commissioner to delegate campus construction projects costing up to $10 million to the MSCBA, increasing it from $5 million. Updates MSCBA's authority to provide expanded services to state universities and community colleges, including financing academic, administrative, and campus infrastructure, as well as managing decarbonization and energy efficiency improvements. Adds two ex officio non-voting seats to the MSCBA board, one state university president and one community college president, increasing membership to 11 and allowing for enhanced information sharing, bond and insurance and debt structure. To finance capital improvements, the bill authorizes the state treasurer to issue up to approximately $3.1 billion in bonds for campus upgrades and $170 million for grants and technology services. Bonds are backed by the Education and Transportation Fund revenues, not the state's general obligation capacity, and therefore exempt from statutory debt limits. Enhances reporting, oversight, and accountability. Requires annual reporting from DECAM and A&F EOE UMass, the state universities, and the community colleges detailing project status, expenditures, emissions reductions, deferred maintenance addressed, square footage impacted, and alignment with campus master plans. Requires additional reporting for all deferred maintenance projects over $50 million within 90 days of the bill's passage. Increases access to higher education opportunities, provides private nonprofit institutions of higher education who are designated as federal minority-serving institutions or as municipally-owned colleges access to grant programs that are currently available to community colleges. Programs include Mass Reconnect, the Success Program, and other grant programs that are run by the Department of Higher Education. Directs the DHE to promulgate regulations accordingly. This bill passed the House of Representatives 148-5. It now goes to the Senate for consideration. Coleta Zapata holds hearing regarding utility-related hazards by the Patriot Bridge staff, special to the Patriot Bridge, December 11th. Councilor Gabriela Coleta Zapata, District 1, recently held a hearing to examine the maintenance and safety protocols of overhead electrical equipment to keep communities safe from utility-related hazards. The hearing brought together city officials, utility companies, and residents to discuss ongoing concerns, current practices, and opportunities to strengthen emergency notifications and ensure multi-agency response systems function effectively. Councilor Coleta Zapata sponsored the hearing to review utility companies' maintenance protocols, inspection schedules, and emergency response plans, and to evaluate long-term infrastructure solutions that better protect residents, especially in high-density neighborhoods. The hearing was called in response to the July 29th incident on Bartlett Street in Charlestown, where overhead electrical wires caught fire, igniting parked vehicles and causing a power outage for dozens of residents. The hearing is a step towards trying to understand how to move forward in an effective way where we have broad buy-in from all stakeholders of the community if there are going to be impacts to their quality of life and financial impacts. Residents deserve to know that when they walk down their block, the wires above them are safe, inspected, and capable of withstanding increasingly volatile weather patterns, said Councilor Coleta Zapata. I look forward to future conversations. Thank you to everyone who joined to provide their perspectives and experiences. The council has heard from an administrative panel who provided an overview of the city's coordination efforts with utility companies and the challenges of the undergrounding infrastructure in densely populated areas. The Public Improvement Commission clarified that its role is limited to reviewing the location of utility infrastructure and not determining its appropriateness, viability, or necessity. Those assessments fall to the utility companies in the state's Department of Public Utilities, the DPU. Councilor Coleta Zapata emphasized the need for clearer communication, timely responses, and critical infrastructure upgrades. Utility companies present discussed the challenges of coordinating multiple utility projects in the same area and the importance of clear communication with city agencies. Eversource and National Grid shared that undergrounding wires could cost millions per mile with additional costs for conduits, permits, and excavation. They emphasized the complexity and high costs involved, noting that municipalities would bear the initial costs. During the hearing, the utility companies also addressed the impact in undergrounding on utility companies and their operations, such as the complexities and cost of undergrounding, including the need for additional manholes and engineering costs. The docket will remain in the Committee on City Services and Innovation Technology. A recording of the hearing can be found at https://www.youtube.com/watch?v=tcvk #C_CO6PJQ. For additional information, please contact the office of Councilor Gabriela Coleta Zapata by phone at 617-635-3200 or by email at GabrielaRamirez@boston.gov. Bills filed to help the future financing of arts and culture programs by Ariel Appleby, Patriot Bridge staff. Massachusetts, a state known for its historical significance, educational institutions, the Red Sox, and coastal cuisine, also relies heavily on the economic fortune of its arts, tourism, and cultural institutions. Public art is a means that connects our community, elevates the lived experiences of those people in the communities, and helps make our spaces feel more welcoming and belonging, said Emily Ruddock, executive director of the nonprofit Mass Creative, during an October 21st hearing at the Massachusetts State House. The Joint Committee on Tourism, Arts, and Cultural Development at the Massachusetts State House heard testimony on various pieces of legislation related to the future financing of arts and cultural programs. Two bills, the Creative Space Act and the Place Act, focus on a key element of supporting creative spaces and creators in Massachusetts. These acts were developed in 2022 by the Metropolitan Area Planning Council in collaboration with Mass Creative. The Place Act aims to establish a program for local art and community engagement over 5 years to support public art in Massachusetts, which is projected to generate $2.5 million. The Creative Space Act aspires to preserve and promote spaces in cities and towns for the creative economy. Sometimes we are 2 or 3 months into the year. Sometimes we're 1 month into the year. Sometimes we're 7 months into the year before we know what our funding is going to be or receive a penny of it, said Stacy David, executive director of Metro West Boston Visitors Bureau, in an interview. David said the unreliable funding creates scheduling issues for advertising programs during busy seasons and important events. Paul Wizicki, CEO of Cape Cod Chamber of Commerce, believes setting October 1st as a fixed annual distribution date provides a solution. The timely release of these funds ensure that every dollar works harder, supporting small businesses, preserving jobs, and strengthening the communities that define the Massachusetts brand. But advocates say the funding issues are only a part of it. They're also fighting to preserve space for artistic pursuits despite legislative pushback. I think at a moment where there's not only a loss of partnership, there's actually outward aggression and hostility from the government in Washington, said Massachusetts State Senator Paul Mark in an interview last week. I think in its important moment to be supportive of culture and arts. During the hearing, supporters pointing out that money is already there and distributing it faster would ultimately benefit the economy. David added that delays force them to scramble marketing campaigns at the last minute for winter, even though Massachusetts is really more of a major destination during fall. He said organizations are required to spend their budget by the end of the fiscal year. The biggest obstacle right now is that the federal government is actively reversing grants, said Mark, trying not just to cut off funding that is coming, but trying to claw back funding that has already come. Committee members appeared supportive of the legislation. This is clearly a bill that we should be doing, said State Senator David Linsky during the hearing. On December 1st, the bill advanced and was passed through the Senate Ways and Means Committee, which was the next step in the process en route to a vote on the floor. According to a Boston Art Review article published on October 25th, if the bills are passed on the floor, they could be enacted as soon as the 2026 fiscal year. Ariel Appleby is a student in the Boston University Journalism Program. This story is a partnership between the Charlestown Patriot Bridge in the Boston University Journalism Program. T's Green Line service suspended until December 22nd. Patriot Ledger Bridge Staff by Karen Rajamani. A major leg of the Green Line will be closed until December 22nd as MBTA crews replace century-old infrastructure. The work will halt service on major commuter rail lines between North Station and Babcock Street and Kenmore and Heath Street. The closure will snarl daily traffic from the North End during one of the busiest months of the year. The shutdown also includes the entire Green Line trunk under TD Garden, affecting thousands of riders who use the system to reach downtown offices, winter events, and holiday gatherings. Crews will replace 130-year-old wooden catenary wire trowel, part of the Green Line's original tunnel system built in the late 1890s. The wooden structure, which houses the overhead wires that power trains, will be replaced with a modern metal system designed to improve reliability. Crews will also continue installing the Green Line train protection system, upgrade signals, conduct tunnel inspections, and improve train stations. What stations are affected? During the closure, no Green Line service will run between North Station and Babcock Street on the B branch, Kenmore on the C and D branches, or Heath Street on the E branch. Service north of North Station, including to Union Square and Medford Tufts, will continue normally. This is Eileen, and you've been listening to the Charlestown Patriot Bridge, December 11th edition.